We're holding on in Bays. I'm with Bays, 14 lines from the bottom. Line begins, there's two lines in a row begin Ishtay. We're on the second one. We learned yesterday, so we're still in the middle of discussing this whole issue of tar b'dvar mitzvah, where a person was trying to do a mitzvah in the event he actually did something which is an issur kares, for example Shabbat, for example breaking Shabbos. When is he chayav a chatas and when he's pater? So far, what we said was as follows: Rabbi Eliezer had said it doesn't matter. There's no such thing as toya b'dvar mitzvah. He was mechalal Shabbos, for example, to shecht an animal which is not the korban Pesach. Then he's chayav chatas always. Rabbi Yeshua started making distinctions, and then within what Rabbi Yeshua holds, we had Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir arguing about the exact parameters of it. We had Rabbi Shimon understanding Rabbi Yeshua to be saying that that it's all b'dvar mitzvah, as long as he actually accomplished a mitzvah, then he's part of machatas. So, for example, in the cases in our Mishnah, let's say, so he shechted a different animal, l'shem Pesach, as long as it was something which was, as long as it wasn't sheer carelessness, as long as it wasn't an animal as long as it was an animal that is suitable for the Korban Pesach, then Rabbi Shimon is going to say that Rabbi Yeshua would pater him from machatas. On the other hand, if it was sheer carelessness, if it was the wrong kind of animal, it was einei roi, or where what he shechted ended up being a posel a carbon, he ended up not accomplishing a mitzvah at all. For example, we had the case, for example, where all of the musafim for that day had been brought, and therefore all that, and therefore what he shechted now is not going to be one of the korbanos tzibur. Then he says Rabbi Yeshua would be chayiv. And then we had Rabbi Meir, who says it doesn't even matter whether he actually accomplished a mitzvah or not. What matters is the interplay of factors that we talked about yesterday. Nitna Shabbos lidochos. You do have that he has the ability to be mechalal Shabbos in this case, for example, for a bris or a korban or what have you. And that you have that he's torud, that he's preoccupied with a certain thing that he knows he has to do the mitzvah with it, and therefore even if it turns out that it was the wrong kind of animal for a Pesach, as long as it was an animal of Kodshim, for example, then he'd be potter. Or we said we're michlaf, where it can be confused, for example, a cholin sheep for a korban Pesach sheep. In all those cases, he'd be potter, even though not necessarily has he actually accomplished a mitzvah. Okay, now the last thing we talked about was we had Rabbi Yochanan saying a case involving Ishtay Nida versus a Yavama. So we said if he had relations with Ishtay Nida, and we ended up saying the case is that it's Samoch Levesta, it's during the owner before it, according to the different opinions, when he has to stay away from her because her period is going to be coming soon. Then we said he hasn't been mekayim any mitzvah, and therefore he's going to be chayiv chatas. On the other hand, with his yavama, even though there's the same thing, he has been mekayim the mitzvah of yavama yavay aleha that he made her his wife. But also there's the point we said that anyway that he's embarrassed to ask her, and therefore it's considered like to a certain degree onus because he's embarrassed to ask her since she's his yavama and he's not that familiar with her yet to ask her such a personal question whether it's close to her vest. So now, what we have to figure out is like this. All this time, we've been talking in terms of things that have to take place on a certain time, on a certain date. The Korban Pesach has to be on Erev Pesach. The Korbanos Tzibur have to be on the respective Shabbos and Yom Tov that they occur on, etc. Here we're talking about something. When it comes to his Yavama, it's not time bound at all. He doesn't have to be koina his Yavama today. He could just as well do it tomorrow. Yet Rabbi Yochanan is saying that he's potter from a chatas. Again, because we have two different lashonis. Is it because he accomplished a mitzvah, or is it because he couldn't ask because he was embarrassed to? But the question is, where is Rabbi Yochanan getting that from, that it doesn't even matter whether it's time-bound, unlike everything we've been saying until now, just the fact that he thought he was accomplishing a mitzvah, and actually that he did accomplish a mitzvah, is enough. So for Rabbi Yochanan Kaman, the Gemara asks, who is Rabbi Yochanan following in that? Ilemek Rabbi Yossi, are you going to say he's going like Rabbi Yossi? The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Sukkah, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag Chalias B'Shabbos, if the first day Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, the Shachach, now of course we don't take the lulav on Shabbos, as we know, but in the times of the Beis Mikdash, actually they did. So here, v'shochach v'hoitzias a lulav l'Rishos HaRabim, he forgot and took his lulav out to Rishos HaRabim on that day. forgetting that it's Shabbos, and okay, you can take Lula. He can take Lula, but he can't carry it out into the street. Potter, so Rabbi Yossi says he's Potter from a Chatas, from Tesha Hotzi Birushus, because he did have permission to take it out, in the sense that not that he had permission to be Machal Shabbos, of course, but again, it's one of these cases of Torud. He knows that he has to take Lulav, and therefore, in this case, he forgot and took it out. Then we can Potter him, as we said before, on the grounds of Torud, on the fact that he's preoccupied with that he has this mitzvah to do. Well, the question with that is, that in that case, Dilma Shiny Hossam Dismane Bohol. But maybe that's a case, after all, it is time bound. So you can say he was pressured for time. He knows he has to take Lulav today. In the time of the Bais Hamikdash, outside the Bais Hamikdash, he took the lulav only on the first day of Sukkot, only after the Churban did Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai make a takana that we take the lulav everywhere for 7 days. So therefore, so he was bohol, he figured, I have to do the mitzvah today, so imlayakshav emasai, as Rashi quotes. So he goes to a baki to teach him and forgets that it's Shabbos. So that's not a proof for Yavama where he doesn't have to do it today. The Elor of Yeshua Dizvachim. Are you going to say he's learning it from Rabbi Yeshua's opinion in our Mishnah, where he shechted some other animal, some other korban, L'shem Pesach, and Rabbi Yeshua is patering him on the grounds of Torah B'dvar Mitzvah? Well, there, and because after all, he did do a mitzvah. Again, Dilma Shiny Hossam, Dilma Hossam Nami Zmane Bohol. Okay, but there also, he's pressured for time. He knows that in this case, he took some other animal, he shechted at L'shem Pesach. He thinks, you know what, it's Erev Pesach. Again, Im Layachshav Emosai, if I don't get this shechted now, then it's not going to work at all. So he found an animal at random in the Azara. He might think, okay, it's somebody's Korban Pesach, what else would it be? And therefore, let me shecht it on their behalf, and that way at least then they can come and claim it after Shtiyah, let's say, but fine, at least this way it will have been shechted in time. So that doesn't prove anything to Yavama, where there's no such time constraint. The Ella could have assured the Tinoikus. Are you going to say Rabbi Yochanan is learning it from Rabbi Yeshua's opinion about the babies to make the Bris Milah, as we talked about yesterday, Friday and Shabbos, or Shabbos and Sunday, etc.? Are you going to say he's learning from that, where we see that in some of those cases, Rabbi Yeshua patters him? Again, Hosam Nami's Manoi Bohol. There also, it's a time constraint. He knows that there is a Bris that has to take place today, on Shabbos. So therefore he makes the mistake. So where is Rabbi Yochanan getting that when none of that applies, like by the Yavama, that we should still say the same din? So the Ela could Rabbi Yeshua de Truma. Are you going to say he's learning it from Rabbi Yeshua's din regarding Truma? Now, Truma is not constrained by time either, so therefore that could be a valid source. The Tanan, namely, we learn in the Mishnah, Hoya Oichel B'Truma, suppose a Kohen is in the middle of eating Truma, V'noidashu ben Grushoi ben Chalutza, then he finds out in the middle that he's actually a Cholol, his mother was a Grusha, or his mother was a Chalutza, and therefore he's a Cholol and he's not allowed to eat Truma. Rabbi Eliezer Machayev Keren V'Chomesh, Rabbi Eliezer is going to say that now we give him the din of a Zor who ate Truma. We know that if a Zor eats Truma B'Shoigig, then he has to pay back Keren V'Chomesh, he pays back the value of the Truma, plus an extra 25%. As we learned earlier in the Masechta, what he does actually is he gives the Kohen produce, and that becomes Truma. So here, Rabbi Eliezer would make him do the same thing because he's a cholol, he's a zor. Therefore, it's like any other zor who ate truma b'shoigi. Rabbi Yeshua Poiter. Rabbi Yeshua, meanwhile, is going to say that he's Potter. So there you see, Lechura, you have an example where he was Tarbid by mitzvah. He thought that he's accomplishing a mitzvah by eating this truma because, after all, he's a kohen. And then it turns out that he's not. So we see then that even when there's not a time constraint, we still patter him. But no, not necessarily. Duma kedira bibi barabaya. Maybe Rabbi Yeshua's reason is based on what Rabbi Barabaya explained. The Amar Rabbi Barabaya, the Truma of Erev Pesach, we're not just talking about any old Truma. We're talking about Truma of Chometz on Erev Pesach, where again, Dizman a Bohol. He has a time constraint. If he doesn't eat this Truma soon, then it's going to be also to eat, and he's going to have to burn it. So therefore, he's in a hurry to eat it. And therefore, so eventually he finds out that he was a Cholol, and Rabbi Yeshua is going to patter him again because Dizman a Bohol. But not necessarily would that apply any other time during the year. Inami, or another possibility, shiny truma. Truma is a special case, the ikri avoida, because eating truma, when a kohen eats truma, is called avoida. va'avoida rachmona achshar. And if a cholol does avoida, then the Torah is machshar it b'di'evin. It's none. As in fact, we learn in another Mishnah there. All of these are Mishnayos in Terumas. If a Kohen is standing on the Mizbeach and in the middle of bringing a Korban, then we find out that he's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. So then Rabbi Eliezer is going to say, it says on the side over here, it should say Rabbi Eliezer, that all korbanos that he ever brought on the Mizbeach Apostle, same idea, he's a cholol, therefore the korbanos that he brought Apostle, same way as if a Zohar had brought them. By the way, I mean, we learn in Masechta Kiddushin that the Sanhedrin usually would check out very carefully the yichus of a Kohen before they'd ever allow him to serve in the Bais Mikdash in the first place. But we also have the example in the first Perek where we said we had the example of the Kohen over there who he and a few other Kohenim were talking about the size of portions they got from the Lechem upon him, and he said, I got a piece the size of a lizard's tail, and the Chachamim figured that's a very inappropriate comparison to compare it to a Dover Tomei, and they checked and they found that he had Shemetz Soul, and we said one possibility is even though they check out, it could happen that they miss a case. So then now because he spoke that way, then they figure they have to check into him again, and therefore they found out that after all that he is possible. So here also you could have a similar case where he was serving and they had vetted him in advance, but they missed something, and now it turns out he's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. So Rabbi Eliezer says we're going to have to go back to the beginning when he started serving in the Bais Mikdash, and all those korbanos that he brought are now possible. But Rabbi Yeshua says that they're kosher. Now, what do you mean? He's a cholol. I'm in my time of the Rabbi Yeshua. So we explain in Kiddushin why does Rabbi Yeshua say that? Why does Rabbi Yeshua say that that it's kosher? Because the pasuk says in Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha to Shevet Levi in Parshas Rezeh bracha, it says Borech Hashem Cheloi, Hashem bless his Cheloi, Ufayal Yod of Tirtzah, and accept the work of his hands. Now the simple meaning of Cheloi means his strength or his riches or something, but the Gemara darshins that Cheloi is Meloshen Cholol. So Moshe is saying, Hashem, bless the cholol among the Kohenim. We're still poyo yod of tirtza. You will accept the avoida from his hands. So therefore, it comes out that even though this guy is a cholol, his avoida is kosher. Now, Rashi over here seems to be saying, Rashi over here mentions b'shogeg, that the Torah is machshirit, which is mashma, therefore, that would mean, in other words, we can't say after now that we know that he's a cholol, that he could ever go do the avodah again. We just mean we're not going to disqualify all the korbanos that he did up until this point. The Rambam actually learns that it means even afterwards that, l'chatchila, obviously, we're not going to allow him to do the avodah, but b'dievet, if he did, then it is going to be acceptable, based on this Gemara. Anyway, the point is, so we could say that in the case where the guy was eating truma and then it turned out he's a cholol, so that's a special case. According to Rabbi Yeshua, anyway, a cholol who did avoida, the dievet, the avoida is kosher. By the same token, Rabbi Yeshua is going to say that since eating truma is called an avoida, then therefore him eating it, the dievet, we're not going to make him pay the keren v'chomish. The Rambam actually, by the way, paskins a little bit differently, that he does have to pay the keren, just not the chomish. Where he gets that from, they discuss a little bit. One possibility is he gets it from a Yerushalmi. Anyway, the point is, that's not a proof for a case where it's not time constrained, and it's not avoida, as is Rabbi Yechanan's case involving the Yavama. You don't have either of those factors, and yet Rabbi Yechanan is saying he's possible. So where are you getting that from? So the Gemara continues, Utruma heche ikra avoida. Where do we ever find that eating truma is called avoida? So Tanya, we learn in a braisa, Maisa b'Rab Tarfon shaloi bo emesh l'beis ha-medrash. It happened one evening that Rab Tarfon did not come to the beis medrash. L'shachris matzei Rab Gamliel. The next morning Rab Gamliel met him, omalei mipnei malei bosa emesh l'beis ha-medrash. So he asked him, how come you didn't come last night to the beis medrash? Omaloi, so Rabbi Tarfon answers him, Avoida avadi, I was doing Avoida. Omaloi, so Rabbi Gamliel says, Kol dvaracha in an ela divrei tema. Whenever you say something, I always find, whatever you're saying over here, it sounds very strange. V'chi avoida b'zman hazeh minayin. How could there be Avoida nowadays? This story took place after the Churban. Now, both Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Tarfon lived through the Churban, but this story happened sometime after the Churban, so there's no Avoida anymore. Omar lo, so what do you mean you did avoida? Amaloi, said Rav Tarfon, tells him, of course I did. Harehu Oimer, after all, the Pasuk says about Truma, Avoidas Matona Etenes Kohonaschem, I will give you Avoida as a gift, meaning the 24 Matnes Kohona, are like an Avoida, Vazora Korev Yumas, and as the Pasuk says, as the Pasuk continues, if a Zora comes close, then he's going to die, meaning, also achilas truma bigvulin kavodes vesimikdash, meaning that eating truma outside Eretz Yisrael, outside the vesimikdash rather, eating truma anywhere in Eretz Yisrael is the equivalent of the avoda of the vesimikdash. So therefore, yes, I was doing avoda even now after the churban, I was eating truma. Now, we do find, by the way, in different places, we've discussed this before, that even after the Churban, there was a period of time, maybe even as much as a couple hundred years, where they had Parah Truma ashes, and they were able to be Matahar people from Trumas Mess, so therefore they were able to do that, and eat Truma Batara, so they had that in Reb Tarfon's times, therefore he's able to do that. The point is, though, that it's not just now, you're going to say, so why does that prevent him from coming to the Bis Medrash? Big deal, you sit down, you eat something, and then you hurry off to the Bis Medrash. You have to realize that eating Truma is a little bit of an involved process. He has to make sure himself that he's Tahar, he has to make sure that his family, if they're going to be joining him in the meal, are also Tahar, make sure the Kalim are Tahar, etc. And you also, you even make a bracha when you eat Truma. The Kohenim, besides they make the regular bracha on food, they also say a bracha, Asher Kedushanu B'Kedushasa Shel Aaron, B'Tzivanu Lechol Truma. So therefore, so it was a bit of an involved process, and therefore that's why I couldn't come to the Bis Medrash last night, because I was busy with that. The point is, though, that we see that eating truma is similar to avoda, and therefore, again, we can say Rabbi Yeshua's rule about a cholol's avoda would also apply to a cholol eating truma. But where is Rabbi Yechanan getting his din from? Where it's not avoda and it's not time constrained, that he should still be potter? We don't know. Ultimately, we haven't found any manda omer among the tanoim who says any such thing. It doesn't mean that the din is not a din. But we can't find a source for it. The din, though, is nevertheless a din, that if he had relations with his Yuvama while she's a Nidda, or Samoch Levesta, and it turned out that she was a Nidda, then nevertheless, he doesn't have to bring a Chatos because he was Toya B'Dvar Mitzvah. Okay. So the bottom line is, again, that we have several different opinions about the parameters of Toya B'Dvar Mitzvah. We have Rebbe Eliezer, who doesn't hold of the concept at all. We have the opposite is Rebbe Yechanan, who holds of it even when there's no time constraint and there's no avoida involved. And then we have Rebbe Shimon and Rebbe Meir, who talk about various details, according to Rebbe Yeshua, who talk about different details within it, that it depends, according to Rebbe Shimon, whether he ended up accomplishing a mitzvah or not, and according to Rebbe Meir, whether it's a reasonable mistake that he could have done. He was able to be Deicha Shabbos for something or other, and in this case, he was either torud, he was preoccupied with a certain thing, knowing that he has to do the mitzvah with it, or michlas, that it's easily confusable, one with the other, not if you don't have either one of those, and also not if you have something where it's a blatantly obvious mistake, for example, a balmum, where there's no reason to confuse it, and there's no torud either.
The din that he's not obligated to bring a chatas only applies to the yivama, or it extends to korbanah.
No, that's what we're saying. This Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah, the concept of Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah means that because of that, he wanted to bring a chatas. Now, what cases does that apply to? So again, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it will never apply at all. There's no such thing. You did something which is chayav chatas, even though you were doing it in the course of doing a mitzvah, nothing doing, you still have to bring a chatas. According to Rabbi Yechanan, it seems that always, not always, we said in the case of his wife, well, we had two lashonis in
Rabbi Yechanan. No, but the halacha.
The halacha is that Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah is potter from a chatas. No, it doesn't just apply to Yavama. It applies more generally to these kinds of cases. What cases exactly it applies to, that there's a little bit of discussion. We have the Rambam writes about it in Hilchos Shugogos, but there's a couple of different ways that the Nosekelim and the Rambam take what he's saying as far as the individual details, in particular whether we're following Reb Meir or Reb Shimon's understanding of Rabbi Yeshua and how we bring in Rabbi Yechanan's opinion. But yes, there is the basic concept that Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah, that if he's intent, for example, in the case of the babies, I think the Rambam paskins that whether we're talking about that there was one who was supposed to be on Friday and one on Shabbos, or one on Shabbos and one on Sunday, I think the Rambam paskins either way that because he's Torud, then therefore he's potter from a chatas.
But everybody agrees for the Yevama, he doesn't have to bring a chatas?
Well, there's no, say Reb Yochanan. We said Reb Yochanan says that. You're talking about as a matter of halacha. As far as I know, everybody accepts what Reb Yochanan is saying. I mean, we didn't shlug it up. We didn't find a source for it in the words of the Tanoim, but we didn't shlug it up either. So yeah.
Okay.
Fine. Next, the Mishnah had said Shchoto Shaloi La'Oichlov. If you shechted the Korban Pesach Shaloi La'Oichlov on behalf of people who can't eat it, or we had several cases in the Mishnah Shaloi L'Menuyov, Arelim, etc., then we said he's Chayev Chatos. So the Gemara says Pshita. Isn't that obvious? Given the Hasam Posel, given that we learned in the previous Perek that shechting the Korban Pesach Shaloi La'Oichlov or Shaloi L'Menuyov, etc., makes the Korban Posel Hacha Chayev. Then necessarily over here he has to be Chayev because he shechted a posel of Korban. Everybody is going to have to agree that he's Chayev in that case because it was carelessness of him. What do you mean? What are you shechting it Shaloi La'Oichlov for? The answer is Mishum Datana Sefer Potter Torah Resha Chayev. Okay, but since the Mishnah wanted to continue with the case of La'Oichlov, Vishaloi La'Oichlov, where he had in mind both, and tell us that he's Potter, so therefore the Mishnah started by mentioning the case where he does Shaloi La'Oichlov alone where he's Chayev. So the question is, Rahonami Pshita. Okay, well, that second part is also Poshut, because obviously we learned before that La'Oichlov, Vishaloi La'Oichlov, if he has both in mind, then the Korban is Kosher. So obviously he can't be Chayev Achatas for Shechtan Kosher Korban Pesach. What's the Chiddush? Mishum de Hasim Kosher Hacha Potter, given that in the previous Perek we said that such a Korban is going to be Kosher, necessarily here he has to be Potter from Achatas. So what's the Chiddush? Okay, the Gemara says you're right. Ela Aidi de Tana Shochta Shaloi Lishmei v'Shabbos. Since the Mishnah started with the case where he shechted at Shaloi Lishmei on Shabbos, and we had to say that he's Chayev, Tana Nami Shaloi La'Oichlov, so therefore the Mishnah continued with other cases also where he shechted it with a wrong Kavana, and therefore he's Chayev. Okay, v'hi gufalamali, so then you have to ask, so what? Why do we need that part itself? Shouldn't it be obvious that if he shechted it shaloi l'shmoi, then it's possible, and therefore he's chayev chadas? The answer is mishum dekabay, leiflugi, Rabbi Eliezer v'Rabbi Yeshua. Because that's only an introduction into the argument of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua about the case where he shechted a different, where he shechted the korban pesach, where he shechted a different korban, a different animal, l'shem the korban pesach, where then we had Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua arguing and the whole sugya that we had over here. So therefore, by way of introduction, we mentioned the case where he said, where he shechted shaloi l'shmoi, where everybody agrees he's chayev chatos. And then once we mentioned shaloi l'shmoi, then we mentioned the various other psulim, such as Shaloi La'Oichlov as well. Okay. Amalei Rav Huna Bar Chinan Levrei. Now, Rav Huna Bar Chinan one time says to his son, Ki Azlas L'Kamei De Rav Zirka, when you go to Rav Zirka to learn Torah by him, Boi Minei, ask him the following question. Now, we learned in Masech the Shabbos like this. We learned that when you do a malacha, when a person does a malacha on Shabbos, he's not chayev unless he did the malacha for a constructive purpose. If he did Makalkal, then we said he's Potter. He's also Dirabanan, but he's Potter. Now, one of the Malachas of Shabbos is Shoichet, and a tolda of it is Choyvel, is wounding an animal or bird or what have you, and causing blood to come out of it, or causing a bruise. Now, there's no, there you go, that usually is Makalkal. Usually that would be a destructive thing. So how is a person Chayev for Choyvel on Shabbos is, let's say, for example, Rashi gives an example. Let's say, for example, if he's Shechting, he's Mesakin, because now the animal is able to be eaten. Or you could have a case of Choyvel where he's Mesakin, also Rashi gives examples that we learned over there in Shabbos. Let's say, for example, he wants to extract some blood from the animal in order to give it to a dog or some other animal to eat. So that would be an example where he's doing a chavura for a constructive purpose. Actually, we learned over there in the Gemara. We learned over there in the Gemara. Tosfos points out that we had over there Rabbi Bohu saying that there's an exception. Choyvel is always chayev, even though it's mekalkel. And Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. So okay. So according to Rabbi Bohu, there's no question. Fine. But the question over here would be according to Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Shimon in the Gemara over there. So according to that opinion. According to the opinion that even if a person wounds, or in this case shechts, but it turns out there's no tikkun involved, he didn't accomplish anything constructive, then he's potter on a daraisa level. Well, then you have to ask, shechta shaloi la'oichlov chayev. What do you mean in our Mishnah that if he shechted the korban shaloi la'oichlov, then he's going to be chayev? Matikin. What did he fix? What did he make that? What constructive purpose did he accomplish with the shchita? After all, the korban is going to be posel. Nobody's going to be able to eat it. So what constructive was accomplished that we should be mechayiv and machatas in the first place? Now Rabbeinu Chananel actually has a slightly different gusa that we're asking also on the case of Shaloi Lishmoi. Because after all, the Shaloi Lishmoi is also a case where the korban is possible. And after all, that comes first in the Mishnah. Wouldn't it be more logical that the Gemara is going to ask from that case, which is earlier in the Mishnah? So Rabbeinu Chananel is in fact gurus that we are asking from that as well. Marisha says, okay, not necessarily. In the first case of the Mishnah, we said that we're talking about that deliberately he changed the designation of the korban from a Pesach to a Shlomim. So you can say over there what he accomplished with that is that now he's not going to be chayav for Noiser to the same extent, because after all, a Shlomim's Noiser lasts longer than the Noiser of Pesach. But with Shaloi La'Ochlov, with Shaloi La'Ochlov, you don't have that, because either way it's Pesach and it lasts the same amount of time. So what did he accomplish? That's why the Gemara is focusing on the second case in the Mishnah where he shechted Shaloi La'Ochlov. And then different achronim talk about what Marsha is saying over here. What are you talking about? I mean, if it's a posel or korban, it's posel. Then there's nothing to talk about how long the noiser lasts. Either way, it's posel. But it's posel. There's no noiser to talk about. So they talk about different possibilities. Maybe in fact you're right. The Gemara could have asked on both of them, like Rabbeinu Chananel says. But since the Gemara is going to continue by talking about the next cases in the Mishnah, which are all in the Sefer, so now also we started with the Sefer rather than going all the way back to the Resha. Okay. Anyway, I was going to explain the question. Let me explain the question back to the Gemara, leaving aside Marshall for a second, and then you can ask your question. So the question is like this: given that if we accept the opinion, which is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, that mekalkel b'chabura is potter, that even when it comes to shechting, let alone when it comes to wounding, a person's chayav chatas only if he did it with some constructive purpose. In this case, he shechted a posel of korban Pesach. On the face of it, there's no constructive purpose because you can't eat this animal. So why should he be chayav chatas in the first place? Yeah, so what do you want to say?
So we seem to be making a difference between the previous cases. We talked about davar mitzvah, and here we're saying constructive purposes, chayvil. There's a slight difference.
There's a big difference, but the difference is before we were talking about he should be chayav chatas because he was mechalel Shabbos, but we're talking about is there a ptur on the grounds of Torah b'dvar mitzvah. Now we're asking on the general concept, why is there even a question of him being chayav chatas in the first place if he did something which is not even constructive. So actually, some of the cases of the Mishnah are constructive. For example, when he shechted a different animal, l'shem Pesach, according to Rabbi Yeshua, you do have a kosher korban over here. The owner is not yotze with it, but it is a kosher korban. So then you can say very much a constructive thing was accomplished. Therefore, we can talk about is he chayev chatas or not, and we can start bringing in the whole issue of tal b'dvar mitzvah. But in the first case of the Mishnah, where we're shochta shaloi l'shmoi, and everybody agrees the korban is possible, and later on in the Mishnah when shochta shaloi l'oichlov, and again, everybody agrees that it's possible. What constructive thing did he accomplish with this shchita that now there should even be a question of being mechayev him chatas in the first place? Now again, if we say like Rabbi Bohu in the Gemara and Shabbos over there, mekalkel b'chabura is chayev, then there's no question. It doesn't matter whether it was constructive or not. Chabura, wounding an animal or a person, is one of those things which is inherently destructive, and yet we're mechayev him. So obviously, therefore, we don't have that ptur. But if we say that like Rabbi Yochanan over there, that even by choivel, you have to have a constructive purpose. What is the constructive purpose over here that we should even be talking about in the first place being mechayev him chatas?
So let's say there was a constructive purpose, but it was not a dvar mitzvah. What are you going to say in that case?
So then we would be mechayev him. So to take Rashi's example, if let's say a person wounded an animal because he wanted blood to give to a dog, then we're going to be mechayev him. But if let's say he wounded an animal for no constructive purpose, then according to Rabbi Yochanan, he's going to be potter. So now the question is, in this case, it's not wounding, it's shechting. But same thing, if he shechted an animal in such a way that it's possible to eat and all you can do is burn it, what constructive thing was accomplished such that, according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's reason to be mechayev him? Shouldn't it be like any other malacha where he did mekalkel and therefore he's potter? So, Rav Huna Bar Chinina's son went and asked and asked Rav Zrika, and he answered, the answer is tikin im olu lo yodu. The answer is that we've learned in Zvachim, and we've learned sporadically here and there since then, that certain korbanos, that certain cases where a korban becomes possible, never, you're not allowed to put it on the mizbeach. Nevertheless, b'dievet, if you did, you don't take it off the mizbeach. This is one of those examples. Even though the korban was shechted, shaloi la'oichlov, the psula b'kodesh, the psula was in the azara, or something that only applies to kodeshim. We had a few different explanations over there when we looked this in Zvachim, what exactly Psula Bakodesh means, but in any case, this Shchotesh Shalola Ochla definitely falls in that category. Therefore, it accomplishes that Im Olola Yodu, that B'diyebet, if it was placed on the Mizbeach, it doesn't go down. Okay, what about the next case of the Mishnah? Shachtev Nimtza Bal Mum Chayev. We said that if a person shechts the Korban Pesach and it turns out it was a Bal Mum, then he's Chayev, and then we said, now on the face of it, that's according to everybody. Because according to Rav Shimon, she's surely chayev. He didn't accomplish him. According to Rav Eliezer, he's chayev anyway. There's no tov v'dvar mitzvah exemption. According to Rav Shimon's understanding of Rabbi Yeshua, which is the Tanakama of our Mishnah, he's chayev because he didn't accomplish a mitzvah. Even according to Rav Meir, we said there's no torud and there's no michlaf when it comes to a balmum. Therefore, he's chayev. You have to ask matikin. Where is the takana there? Now you can't say im ololo yodu. A balmum is not one of the ones that if you put it the emur. Of it on the Mizbeach, then you don't take them off. So what was accomplished then? The answer is tikkun bedukin shabayin ba'alibadin of akivah da'amayim olola yodu. Let's say we're not talking about a mum, like, for example, the animal has a broken leg or something. Let's say we're talking about a minor mum, for example, that just has a doik over the eye. Rashi in different places, Rashi over here translates and in different places explains that the doik is like a covering, like a film over the eye. So it could mean a cataract, or it could mean like a growth of some kind over the eye. Whatever it is exactly, it is a mum. But it's sort of a minor mum for Bnei Noach, for their korbanos outside the Beis Hamikdash. It's not even considered a mum, because it's not mechusar eiver, it's not missing a whole limb. And Rabbi Akiva holds in Zvachim that there are certain kinds of mumim. Oh, actually, no, it's not a matter of that it's mutter for Bnei Noach. It's a matter of such a mum is not possible when it comes to birds. Rabbi Akiva would say only a mum which applies equally to animals and birds, only that kind would be sayim olu yodu. But a cataract or a film or whatever over the eye, if a bird has it, it's not possible, because a bird can have a mum, it just can't be mechusar eiver. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva is going to say that b'diyevet, if you brought such a korban, and b'diyevet, if you brought the fat of it on the mizbeach, im ololo yodu. So here, the same thing. The kind of balmum we're talking about in our Mishnah is that kind of situation. So therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, you were mistaken something. You now made that b'diyevet, this korban, could be offered on the mizbeach. Okay, what about the next case, shchotev v'nimtza trefa b'seisa potter? What happens in the case, the next case, the Mishnah had said, if he shechted the animal and it turned out to be a trefa inside the body, then he's potter. Now, Tosfos points out, by the way, over here, that according to Rav Shimon, he might still be chayev, because again, according to Rav Shimon's understanding of Rabbi Yeshua, even though he's an onus, the fact is even though he's talbid bar mitzvah, the fact is he didn't accomplish a mitzvah, because a trefa is possible as a korban. So Rav Shimon might well be mechayev him. Rav Meir, though, would potter him. So fine, in the Mishnah we had the opinion of Rav Meir. Tosfos says the last part of the Mishnah might be all according to Rav Meir. So this part that was saying he's potter, if it was a trefa basay, would be according to the mayor. At any rate, the question is again, given that it is a trefa, after all, that it's not kosher as a korban, so therefore, and you can't eat it, it's a trefa, so what did now, the point is, ha begolui chayev. Now the implication is, on the other hand, if it was a trefa in something external on the body, for example, let's say it was missing a leg above a certain point, or it had an extra leg or whatever, so we would say he's chayev. Now, again, you have to ask Matikin. So in that case, what was the takana, what was the constructive purpose in shechting it? It's not im olu lo yodu, because in this case, even Rabbi Akiva is going to agree, im olu yodu. So what did you accomplish? The answer is tikkun lahotzi midei nevela. Even then, you could say the shechita did have a constructive purpose. It makes that now the animal is not a nevela. So now, in particular, now it's not going to be matame as a nevela. What it means, the kohenim can carry it out without becoming tame, right? Okay. Maskeflorovina. So fine, so that takes care of all the cases of our Mishnah. But Maskeflorovina, but Ravina says, still, I have a contradiction. Hodetanya, now we have a braisa in Masech Techulin that teaches us, Hashoychet Chatas B'Shabbos B'Chutz La'Avodazora, if a person, on Shabbos, he takes an animal which was supposed to be a Chatas, and he shechts it outside the Mishmikdash, and he shechts it in honor of Avodazora, Chayev Aleo Gimel Chatois, and he's Chayev three Chatois, one for breaking Shabbos, one for sacrificing Tabbat Azara, and the third one for shechting outside a korban outside the Azara. Shchotechutz, he took an animal which was supposed to be a chatas and shechted it outside the Azara. So that's another isu kores, and since he did it b'shoigig, then he's bringing a chatas for that. The Gemara, by the way, in Chulin explains over there why we're talking davka a chatas. L'chora, wouldn't the same din apply to other korbanos as well? The Gemara discussed it over there because we have to have the Gemara needs to find a because of certain considerations in the sugya over there. The Gemara needs to find a kind of animal that this would apply to, that we're a kind of case where this would apply to a bird as well. And I'm a bird. You only have an oila and a chatas. So all this was my mistake. Yeah, he didn't know it was Shabbos. So he didn't know it's also the shecht on Shabbos. He didn't know it's also the shecht for Avodah Zarah. And he thought maybe that's only also, let's say, for example, he brought it as a sacrifice to Pur. He thought the only way a person is chayav for worshipping to Pur is by going to the bathroom in front of it. He didn't realize that zvicha is one of the four avodas that a person is chayav no matter what. And the same thing, he didn't know shchut echot. Yeah. So anyway, so we say he's chayav three chatois. Now, matikin. Now, you have to ask, what again, in terms of Shabbos, what was the constructive purpose that would make him chayav achatas for Shabbos? L'chora, you can't even say that. I mean, this animal is now, it is even tame, because tikrovis avodazara is matame. And actually, says matame even ba'oil. There's actually different opinions about that, what exactly the degree of tuma is that it has. But whatever the case, it definitely is matame somehow or other. So what did he accomplish by shechting this animal? The answer is Amar Avira Shemaitziyah Midei Eivim Menachai. What he accomplished is that at least it's not Eivim Menachai. Now, what does that accomplish? It means, therefore, Rashi says, for Bnei Noach. A Ben Noach, we know that they're one of their Sheva Mitzvahs is they're not allowed to eat Eivim Menachai. On the other hand, now, they're not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah. But there's nothing wrong with them eating Tekrevis Avodah Zarah. They're just not allowed to bring a korban to Avodah Zarah themselves. But if they want to eat somebody else's korban that he brought for Avodah Zarah, no problem with that. It's not one of their Sheva Mitzvahs. So now what you accomplished with this is now this animal at least is not Eivim Menachai, and therefore that a Ben Noach is not going to be Nehereg Olav, that he's not going to be subject to Misa for violating one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. So that's the constructive thing. Therefore, we can say to that extent, that means, in other words, even if we say Mekalka B'chaburta Potter, at least here his Shchita accomplished to that degree, and therefore we can make him Chayev Chatas for it. Before you shechted it, nobody can eat it. No, the goyim can't eat it. It would be Eivim Menachai. Right, fine. But in this case, he shechted it. But the point is, the shechita is considered, it accomplished something. Rabbeinu Hananel actually says something a little bit different. Even for a yid, there's a nafkamina. Because as Eivim Menachai, if he ate a kezias, where not the whole kezias was meat, some of it was bones, some of it was gidim, he'd still be chayav. Now that it was shechted, fine, it's metame, it's still, and he's also to eat it because it's a kerevus avodazara, etc. But the only way he's chayav is if he eats a complete kezias of meat. So that's another nafkamina as well for a yid. Yeah. And you're right. For kerevus avodazara, we're not necessarily mitzara if the bones and the gidim, he says. Okay. Anyway, so that answers the question. So in all these cases, he shechted on Shabbos, there's always something that's accomplished with that shechita, which is enough to be mechayim. Well, there's a machlokes in the Mishnah about when he's chayiv and when he's potter. But the cases that we were talking about, shchoter shalo le'oichlov, or it was a bal mum, or was a treif of aseser, we said, well, so those we said, when he shechted shalo le'oichlov, or shalo le'shmoy for that matter, or when he shechted and it turned out to be a bal mum, everybody agrees he's chayiv. When he shechted and it was a treif of aseser, tosfos is saying, now on the face of it, the Mishnah is saying that everybody agrees he's potter, well, everybody except Rabbi Eliezer, maybe, but tosfos says that actually maybe that would be only according to the Mayor's understanding of Rabbi Yeshua. Maybe Rabbi Shimon would say even in that case he's chayiv, because after all he didn't end up accomplishing a mitzvah, because a treifa is not kosher as a korban. even though he's been makrig, even though he's toyer b'dvar mitzvah and everything, but the fact is he didn't actually accomplish a mitzvah because it turns out to be a tereifa. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Shchotei v'noidav chulo. We said, suppose he shechted the carbon, and then it turned out that the owners had withdrawn from it. So now the carbon pesach has nobody registered for it, and therefore it's possible. Or that they became tamei, etc., etc. So then we said again that he's potter mipnei shachat b'rishus, because we said because he shechted with permission. He was able to shecht, and he had. No point. He had no choice. He was an onus. He didn't know that the circumstances changed. Therefore, he's an onus. Again, that's according to Rashi. According to Tosfos, it's not so much because he's onus. It's more because according to the mayor, because he's torud, and then therefore we can pater him on those grounds. Okay. Anyway, so now the Gemara is going to point out a different. Now we're going to talk about a different din, which is going to relate back to this. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rab. If an osham, now we know like this, there's a concept, we know there are various cases where chatas becomes possible, and we learned about them in Masechta Tmura, that in many cases we say tomus, the animal has to be left to die. But we have a halacha l'moshe Sinai that says that if a parallel case happens with an osham, then instead what you do is you leave it to graze until it develops a mum, then you sell it, and then you use the money to buy an oila, or you use, actually what you do is you put the money in the nedava boxes in the Beis Mikdash, and the nedava boxes eventually are used to bring kayitz on the mizbeach, korbanos on the mizbeach. They buy animals and bring them as oilas when there are no other korbanos being brought. So, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rab, Osham shenitak l'ri'iyah. So, if the Osham was pulled away, meaning it was removed from, so let's say, for example, Rashi gives two of the examples. The owner died, or they had lost the animal, and they ended up bringing a different animal as their Osham. Now, you can't bring this as an adava. So, what we do is, therefore, so if nitkay me'olav, Rashi says, he removed it from himself, the shlicha la'afer l'ri'iyah, and he put it out in the meadow to graze. That's called nitak l'ri'iyah. There's a few different places Rashi has slightly different explanations of what nitak means exactly. He doesn't mean like this was saying over here, he actually removed it from his presence. Doesn't mean he just removed it from that, I'm not going to be bringing it as an osham anymore. Doesn't mean that Beis Din told him to do it. Whatever the case, anyway. The shachta stam, and then later on he shechted it as a korban before it developed the mum, obviously, without specifying what it is. Kosher, la'oila, then it's kosher as an oila for kayitz and mizbeach. Because after all, the purpose eventually would have been that the value of this animal would go for kayitz and mizbeach. So now, if he checks the animal itself as kayitz and mizbeach, then it's a kosher to carbon oila. No, we're not talking about Shabbos. Here we're talking about Stami Shechted on a weekday. The point is, in other words, we don't say it's a posel or korban. We say that it becomes a korban, it becomes an oila of kayitz and mizbeach. It becomes a valid oila for the tzibur. No, it wouldn't be Yotze his own korban oila. This is for kayitz hamizbeach. The value of this animal is not going to go for his own personal oila. It's going for kayitz hamizbeach, for the tzibur. So you also, yeah. Okay. So, alma kasava loibo yakira. Now, obviously, therefore, that means Rav Huna is telling us, Rav is telling us, that the animal does not require akira. We don't need to explicitly say that. We don't need to explicitly say this is no longer an osham. This is an oila. It automatically becomes an oila. Okay, it's b'di'evit, but still. E hachi kilo nitak nami. Then the question is, why dafka does it have to be that nitak? Even if kilo nitak nami. So the same thing should apply even if not nitak. As soon as the owner died, let's say, why don't we say the same thing b'di'evit? That we take the animal and we're makriv as an oila, then it's valid. Why do we first have to have nitak, that it was removed and sent off to graze, and then we brought it back and shechted it? The answer is gzera la'acha kapara, otu lifne kapara. You're right, but the reason is we make a gzera because if you did that at la'acha kapara, let's say after, so let's say the owner didn't die. Let's say the owner had brought a different animal as his asham. We make a gzera. If we allow that la'acha kapara, we might confuse it with the case of lifne kapara. And lifne kapara, then therefore, obviously, if we bring it as an oiler, it's not going to be good because it was supposed to be an asham. So therefore, without specifying, if he shechts it stam, it's going to be an osham, not an oila. So therefore, we make a gzera, even la'acha kapara, we don't want him to do that unless nitak. Once it was removed from that area and sent off to graze, now it's less likely to be confused with lifnei kapara, then therefore now we can allow it to, now b'di'evit it can be brought as an oila. Okay. So the Gemara says, when we're not Tamra, now where do you see this distinction? Where do you see that you should make such a Zera? So, Ditan, we learn in a Mishnah, We learn in the Mishnah in Tamura, Osam Shemesu Bailov, an Osham where the owner died, Oshin Eskapru Bailov, or that the owner already had their kapara, they lost this animal, they brought a different one, and then this one turned up. Yira Abshi Stove, you have to leave it to graze until it develops a mum, V'yimacher, then you sell it. The Yiplo Dom of the Nadava, and the money of it then has to go into the Nadava boxes, which again are used to bring Kais on his back. Rebbe Eliezer Oimer Yomus, Rebbe Eliezer disagrees and says that the animal has to be locked up and left to die, same as with a Chatas from Eser Bailov, because Rebbe Eliezer in general holds that a Chatas and an Osham are the same for many different dinim, even as far as the din of Shaloi L'Shmoi, for example, we talked about a Chatas and a Pesach being possible Shaloi L'Shmoi, Rebbe Eliezer says also an Osham is possible Shaloi L'Shmoi. So the same thing over here. Just like a chatas from Mesu Bailov or chatas from Eskapru Bailov, you have to leave it to die. Rabbi Eliezer would say the same thing with an Osham. No, because according to Rabbi Eliezer, that doesn't work. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the same way as with the chatas. You wouldn't say kaitz mizbeach. You say a chatas, we have a locha l'moshe b'sinai, that you have to lock it up and then leave it over there. So the same way Rabbi Eliezer is saying, the same thing with this Osham over here. Yeah. Rabbi Yeshua, I mean, you mocha v'yavu v'dam of oila. Rabbi Yeshua says you sell it and you use the money to bring an oila. Now, what is the actual difference between Rabbi Yeshua and the Tanakama? The Tanakama had also said it goes to the Nedaba, which ends up for oilas. The Gemara in Tamura explains that according to the Tanakama, it has to go dafka for kaitz hamizbeach. It has to go for korbanos for the tzibur. According to Rabbi Yeshua, it can go for his own personal oila. Anyway, the point is, av bedam of ein, even Rabbi Yeshua is only saying that the money of it can be used to bring his own personal oila, av a guf oiloi, but even he himself says that the actual animal itself cannot be brought as a carbon, de gozal, acha kapara, otu lifne kapara, so we see that we make this zera that you don't want to do that, la'acha kapara, where he might have used already a different animal for his carbon, because you might confuse it with lifnei kapara. So now, the same thing, in other words, then what might happen is that, what might happen, he might, as you said, he himself has to bring an ola for some other purpose, so he might decide, you know what, then I already brought my osham, so now let me take this one and bring it as an ola, and that's no good, because it's still available as an, it can't use it as an osham anymore, fine, because he already brought his osham, lifnei kapara even. We're saying that you could have lifnei kapara before he ever brought his osham. He could say, you know what, forget about using this one for an osham. I'll bring a different animal for an osham, and I'll repurpose this one for an oila. And you can't do it. It was already designated as an osham. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua, and we're saying that we're going to make a gzera that even la'acha kapara, we're not going to allow him to do that. So again, Rav Huna is telling us that if nitak, then already we're not going to be gozer anymore, because once nitak, once you actually removed it from your presence and said, you know what, I'm not using this, I'm not going to ever use this animal for a korban, I'm going to end up selling it and using the money for an ola, then fine, it's not so easily confusable with lifnei kapara, therefore we can allow it, but not otherwise. Okay. Once it's nitak, then already we can say now it already becomes like a new metzius sort of, yeah. Okay. Eisvei Rav Chista l'Rav Huna. So now Rav Chista says to Rav Huna, I have a contradiction from our Mishnah. This is why we're bringing this in, because this relates to our Mishnah. Shochtei v'noidish ha-moshchol b'ilamas yadam b'chola. We said the case was you shechted the Korban Pesach, then you found out that everybody had withdrawn from the Korban Pesach, so now the Korban Pesach has nobody who has no owner, has nobody registered for it anymore. Then we said that he's potter, but he's potter from Chatas. The Tony Yalo, now we learn in a Braisa relating to this Mishnah, if such a thing had happened on weekdays, then you burn it right away. You don't have to wait until Ibrut Surah. Now, what we're going to discuss over here in the Gemara is like this. You have, when kochim become posel, there's two possibilities. Sometimes you have what's called psulei begufa, you have a psul in the actual korban itself, then the din is, you can burn it right away. You don't have to wait till the next day, you don't have to nothing. Obviously, if it's Shabbos, you can't. If it's Yom Tov, you can't. But if it's on a weekday, you can burn it right away. Then you have other cases where the psul is not begufa, the psul is what's called bedover acher, in a side thing. Then we say, and we're going to give examples of it as we go through over here, So then the din is, you can't burn it right away. Then you have to wait until it has Ibur Tzura. Rashi understands that Ibur Tzura means that the meat like starts drying out a little bit. It's enough to leave it overnight, and therefore, and that's already considered Ibur Tzura. At that point, anyway, it becomes possible with Lina. So then at that point, you can burn it. According to Rabbeinu Hananel, in a couple of places, he says that Ibur Tzura means you have to actually leave it until it spoils, until it's not edible anymore, and then you can burn it. Whatever the case, the point is that the point is some karbanos you need that, and some psulim you need that, and some psulim instead you can just burn them right away. No, so that's the thing. So if it requires Ibur Tzura, once it had Lina, then Rashi would say at that point you could burn it because of Lina alone. Rabbi Nachmanu would say that nevertheless, since the begin with, the psul was not Lina, the psul was something else, then you have to leave it until it spoils. Anyway, the point is, so now, we're saying like this, in this last case of the Mishnah, where he shechted the Korban Pesach and then he finds out that the Korban Pesach has nobody registered for it, that all the Bailim withdrew. Tosfos, by the way, points out, I mean, if anybody was left, if at least one person was left registered for it, then it's not so bad. I mean, we're going to learn later on, Machlokas Tanoim, whether you're allowed to shech the Korban Pesach for one person, but in any way, more people can join it. But if there ever comes a time when the Pesach is left without Bailim, then you can't use it as a Pesach anymore. You can add up till you shech. Up to Yishech, right. But the point is, so if you always have to have, at all times, you have to have that at least one person owns this Korban Pesach. If you ever have a case where nobody owns it, then no good. At that point, it becomes possible for a Korban Pesach. We're going to have a lot of examples like that later on. In the ninth Perek of Bar Masechta, we're going to have a number of examples like that where the Korban Pesach, and where you have a situation, you have to avoid the Korban Pesach ending up without owners at all. Well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to discuss the matter of Shlomim soon. But yeah. Anyway, so the point, but so that's the problem over here. So now we learn. So now the problem is everybody withdrew. This Pesach has no Bailim. So now we're saying that if that happened on Shabbos, we said he's potter for lachatos. But we're saying if that happens on a weekday, then what we say is it's considered a psula b'gufay and we can burn it right away. So now, Rav Chista says to Rav Huna, "Iyamet v'shleima bo yakira." So now, if you say that in general to change a korban from one type to another, then you say that you do need to say so explicitly. Hai pesachu. Then what you would say is like this: unless you change it, this thing remains a pesach. B'kiven delesle bailim havelet psul b'gufoy. And now that it has no bailim, it's considered a psul in the actual korban itself. Am tu lahochi yisarif miyad. That's why we're saying you have to burn it right away because now this is a psul b'gufoy. Eli Amit Loy Boy Akira, but you, Rav Huna, are telling us that an animal, once it's not usable for its original purpose anymore, like the case of the Osham, you're telling me it doesn't need Akira, automatically it becomes the other kind of carbon. So fine, we said until Nitak L'Ri'iyah, we said we don't want to do that because Xeda Drabanan. But in principle, but at least once Nitak L'Ri'iyah, you're able to do that without even saying now I'm bringing it as an Oila, because we said the case was that he just shechted it Stam, and automatically it becomes an Oila. So in our case over here, with a Pesach, given that, like you said, it can't be a Pesach, automatically, therefore, it has to become a Shlomim. So, Mireisha Havale Shlomim. So, therefore, to begin with, it becomes a Shlomim. So, even if you're going to say that, Psula Mishumai, so on what grounds is it possible? Only Mishum Davar Acher, it's only possible, now, like this, it should have been a Kosher Shlomim. The reason it's possible is because of a side thing, because he shechted it after the Tomat Shabbin HaBayim, because we said the Korban Pesach is brought after the Tomat Shabbin HaBayim, no other Korbanos are allowed to, and therefore, it becomes possible on those grounds, as we learned at the beginning of the previous Perek. And by the way, Tosfos over there and Yuma discuss such a korban. It's not even necessarily that such a korban is automatically possible because of that. What it might be, Tosfos discusses in those places, is it might be that you have an iser to burn the fat on the mizbeach after the Tumah Trumah Abayim. So therefore, necessarily it ends up becoming possible because until the fat is burnt, you can't eat the korban. Therefore, it ends up becoming noiser. Or another place, Tosfos says that after the Tumah Trumah Abayim, you're not allowed to sprinkle the blood out of it on the Mizbeach, and therefore that blood ends up becoming possible with Lina, and therefore so does the Korban. So Tosfos discusses in a number of these places that maybe B'dievet, if you did it after the Tumah Trumah Abayim, maybe B'dievet it would be kosher. But we're talking about over here that L'chatchila, at least, you're not supposed to do it. The point is, therefore, it ends up becoming possible. It ends up becoming possible, but not because of something in the actual korban itself, but because of a side thing. And therefore, so ibur tzura boi. So now, so why is the braisa telling us that you burn it right away? According to your logic, it should require ibur tzura. The tanya, as we learn in a braisa, zaklal. The general rule is kol shepsulei begufay. Whenever a korban is possible with something intrinsic to the korban itself, for example, Rashi says it was pigul, it was noiser, it became tamei, etc. It was taken outside the azara. So in all those cases, you start off miyad, you burn it right away. The dam of a bailim. On the other hand, if the psul happened because of the blood, let's say, for example, the blood spilled, or the Bailim, or like, for example, with the Korban Pesach, where the owner became Tomei or died after the Zrika. So now it is a Pesach kosher, there's just nobody to eat it. So then to Ubat Surah, Sidi Yetzi Leveis HaSefer. Then you need Ibut Surah, and only then can you go and burn it. So why is the Brais over here saying you start off Miyad? So again, if you say Boyakira, the reason why you start off Miyad is because you shechted it. It remained a Korban Pesach all this time, and you shechted it, and it's a possible Korban Pesach, and as a possible Korban Pesach, you burn it right away. But if you say it doesn't require Akira, then what we're saying, in effect, is it became a Shlomim, but it was a Shlomim that was shechted at the wrong time, and therefore it's possible. That's only a Psul Machmas Dovah Acher. So you need Ibur Tzura. Yeah, so you should have to wait. So the answer is Ela Loite. So this, the question is on Rav Huna. So the question is on Rav Huna, who was saying that you don't need Akira. By the way, a couple of Achronim talk about over here, the Tzlach, the Sfas Emes, talk about that. Well, the Tzlach, for one, talks about Rav Chista himself holds it. Now, we talked about the other day the question of Akira Batos. If a person mistakenly changed the designation of a Korban, does that count as Akira? Here, in effect, it's mistaken because he didn't know the owners died or withdrew or whatever. So the Tzlach says, you know what? Rav Chista himself holds in the sugya on this in Menachos that Akira Batos is considered an Akira. So therefore, so the question is valid according to him that either way it comes out that automatically it was that comes out then that automatically it should have changed to a Shlomim. The Sfas Emes gives a different answer. That's one thing when he does Akira, when he actually changes the designation of the Korban. Here, it's not the actual designation that was changed. It's he didn't know that the circumstances had changed, and therefore it turned from a Pesach into a Shlomim because he didn't know that the owner died, etc. Anyway, the point is, again, so Rav Chista is asking on Rav Huna, so how can you say that the Osham over there that you don't need Akira, you don't need to change the name of it to an Ola, to bring it as an Ola? We see from here on the face of it you do need to. You could ask who's the balabas who wants it to be shechted, but no. In this case, in other words, the case was that let's say Reuven and his family are registered for this Korban Pesach. So Reuven sends Shimon, a friend of his, with the Korban Pesach to be shechted. Then after Shimon shechts it, he finds out that Reuven and his family decided to use a different animal for their Korban Pesach instead. So they withdrew from this one and it was left without Bailam. Yeah. Okay. Ella, so Rav Chista says, Loi tema shochtei stam kosher b'shum oila. So you shouldn't say in the case of the Osham that if you shechted it stam, then it'll be kosher as an oila. Because no, you need Akira. Without Akira, without actually changing and saying this is going to become an oila, it's still going to stay an Osham, and it's a possible Osham because he already brought his Osham. Rather, what you have to say is, Ela ema shochtei. So instead, now you're quoting, he says to Rav Huna, you're quoting in the name of Rav, let's correct your version of what Rav is saying. He didn't say that shochta stam kosher l'shum oila. He must have said, ela ema shochta l'shum oila kosher. He must have said, if you shechted it for the purpose of an oila, then it's kosher. Alma boy akira. So in other words, it does need akira. So if he did that, if he said that, so this animal was nitak l'ruhiya, and now he said, you know what, I'm changing it, I'm not gonna bring it as an osham anymore, I'm now going to change it to an oila and bring it as an oila, then we're saying it's kosher, because there was akira. Okay, what about Rav Chiya bar Gamda? Now, what about according to Rav Chiya bar Gamda's opinion? Now, we learned before, we talked about, we had a case.
Do you need Adim for Akira?
No, why would you need Adim for Akira? No.
Why not? I mean,
why would you? Why would you? Akira is just, you're changing the designation of the Korban. You're saying that before this was one kind of Korban. Think of it, when you first designate an animal for a Korban, do you need Adim? No, of course not. Okay. Anyway, we had a case in the previous perek where a person took an animal that was roi for the Korban Pesach and shechted it sometime during Yom Tov, shaloi l'shmoi, where we said that, so we were discussing over there now on the face of it, why should it matter whether it was l'shmoi or shaloi l'shmoi? Automatically, once Erev Pesach was over, then the Korban automatically becomes a shlomim. So we said over there, we said over there that Rav Chiya bar Gamda had said, Nizrukam api chavura. He said the entire group, all the chaverim in the Beis Medrash, all unanimously said, Va'amri, kagoyin shoy bailam tmei mesim, that the case there is talking about where the owner was a tomei mes on Erev Pesach, the nitchan the Pesach sheni, so he's pushed off the Pesach sheni. So only in that case are we saying that now the animal is still usable for a korban Pesach a month from now. Normally we would say it automatically becomes a shlomim after Erev Pesach, but because now he has a Pesach sheni to bring, therefore we can say it still keeps its designation as a Pesach, and therefore we can talk about when he shechts l'shmoy or shaloy l'shmoy what the dinim are. So according to that, So implying Hayihu deboy Akira, only that particular case is Rav Chiya bar Gamda telling us that it would require Akira, because it could still be brought as a Pesach, implying Ha ba'alma leboy Akira. So according to Rav Chiya bar Gamda, you generally don't need Akira. Generally, once an animal can't be used for the original korban it was brought for, then and it could be you brought as a different korban, like a Pesach becoming a Shlomim, or the Oshem becoming an Ola, then automatically it becomes that. So then my Ikala Meimar, then what are you going to say? According to that understanding, then you're back to the question that the Braisa at the top of the Almud said that if you shechted the Pesach and it turns out that it has no Bailim, you start with Miyad. If we say that you don't require Akira, then it means it automatically turned into a Shlomim, and as a Shlomim, it's only possible Machmas Dover Acher, and therefore you should need Ibur Tzura. So how are you going to explain it according to him? Now, of course, the Gemara could go back to say that, okay, again, you know, we're going to go back and change the version of what Rav is saying, but we want to be able to make the Braisa work according to this opinion as well. The scenario we're talking about over here, why would you burn the korban right away? So no, we're gonna go back to the original version of what Rav says. We're not gonna accept Rav Chista's correction to Rav that we're talking about, that he explicitly said I'm changing it to an oila. That if he said I'm shechting as an oila, we're going to go back to the original assumption that Rav had said shechte stam, that he took the osham and shechted it without specifying what kind of korban it is. Now, why are we saying that? So because we're saying that it's still kosher because it turns into an oila. In the case of the Pesach that turns into a shlomim, why don't we say the same thing? Why are we saying it remains a Pesach, and because it remains a Pesach, then it's psula b'gufay and you burn it right away? So Rav Huna Breid, the Rishua says like this, Hochab Mayaskinen, Gugenshi Frishet Kodim Chatzois, suppose that you designated the animal for a korban before Chatzois, Umesu Bailam Acha Chatzois, and then the owner died, or withdrew, or whatever, after Chatzois. Dehavale Nira Benidche. Now what you have is like this. So the animal was suitable to bring as a korban Pesach, but now was pushed away from becoming a korban Pesach. Now you have a concept. You have a concept in halacha called dichui. You have something was usable for a certain mitzvah, and now it gets pushed off. You have something called dochui meikroi. Where something was never suitable for the korban in the first place. An example of that over here would be, let's say the animal was lost before Chatzos, and you didn't find it until after the time of the korban Pesach was over. So it was dochui meikre. At the time of bringing the korban Pesach, there was no way you were going to be able to bring it because it was lost. Then we would say that fine, it becomes a shlomim automatically. But here we're talking about that there was a part of the afternoon when it was able to be brought as a korban Pesach because it had been designated already and you had people registered for it, etc. And then the owner died or they all withdrew or whatever, and now it became dochui. So now it says, so the dehavale nira v'nidcha. So now it was nira, it was suitable for a korban, v'nidcha, and then it was pushed off from being able to be used as a korban. V'chola nira v'nidcha, shuveni chos v'nira. Whenever you have something like that, then it doesn't become nira again. So therefore, that is why, in this case, then it can't become a shlomim again. When we say that the leftover Pesach becomes a shlomim, would be where it was dochui me'ikri, but not a case like this, where it was nira v'nidcha, and therefore that's why we would say it's still considered a Pesach, and therefore it's psula b'gufay, and therefore you burn it right away. Okay, so then the question is, the Gemara says, midi hu taima elo l'rav? What do you mean, though? Here we're all dealing according to Rav's opinion. Ha'omer Rav ba'alei chayim einem nidchin. But Rav says that living animals can never be nidche in the first place. So according to him, there's no such thing as nidre v'nidche when it comes to living animals for korbanos. If the animal had been shechted, fine, then we can talk about it. But as long as the animal is alive, automatically it should become a shlomim. And therefore, when you shechted, you shechted it as a shlamim. And again, then fine, it'll be possible because it'll be a psul, but it'll be a psul machmas dover acher. And we're back to the question, why are we saying you burn it right away? No, according to him, in the case of the Pesach, we don't have, unless the animal became a balmum or something, you usually don't send off the Pesach to graze. Usually the Pesach becomes a shlamim automatically. Most korbanos, what we're saying is, according to him, if you have an animal that was nira and then nidcha, then afterwards it can become nira again. So for example, let's say, one example the Gemara discusses, I think, in a couple of these places about this, on the sugya of nira v'nidcha, imagine you had, for example, a person designated an animal for a korban, for some aveda that he did, then he became a mumer, so now he's not able to bring korbanos at all, then he did tshuva, so the animal is nira again, even though it was nidcha for a while. The Rav points out, I mean, you have, after all, the case of an animal that has a temporary mum. You have exactly that. You have a case where the animal's nira, then nidcha, and it becomes nira again. So the other manda omos who disagree with Rav will say that's an exception to the rule. But in general, we say that Anyway, the point is, Rav always holds that bali chayim ain't a nidchen. So how would this answer work? We're trying to understand Rav's opinion over here. Rav wouldn't make that distinction between nira v'nidcha or dochoy meikroi. So according to Rav, there's nothing to talk about. Regardless, this, if we say that you don't need Akira, then this animal automatically becomes a shlamim. Ela, Amar Papa Hamani Rabbi Yezri. Okay, so rather, Nira v'nidcha would mean it was originally suitable, then it got pushed off. Rav would say, Bale Chaim en nidchen, it doesn't matter, we can still use it for a korban again as soon as it's able to. So this was a korban Pesach. It was nidcha because the owner died. It automatically becomes a shlamim. Means that they're not nidcha. Means there's no problem of nidcha over here. So what it means is, in other words, the fact that the owner died, it disqualifies it from a Pesach, but it immediately becomes a shlamim instead. Yeah. A nidcha over here means there's not going to be an issue of dichui. You'll still be able to end up bringing it as a korban. So now, when you bring it as a shlomim after the Talmud Rabbein Abayim, fine, you have a problem because it's after the Talmud Rabbein Abayim, but that's a psul machmas dover acher. So it should be burned only after Ibur Surah, and the Braisa at the top of the Omud said you burn it right away. Yeah. Elo, Amar Papa Hamani Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Papa says, fine, we have to answer that the Braisa at the top of the Omud is a coin to Rabbi Eliezer. Now he said in our Mishnah, we said that if you shecht a different animal, a different korban, having in mind that it's a korban Pesach, then he says it's posel. Now we said everybody agrees you shecht a Pesach shalei lishma, it's posel. Rabbi Eliezer says also other korbanos that were shechted having in mind that they were korban Pesach are also posel. So therefore, to have a psul be gofrei. So now what you have is an animal that should be a shlomim. He shechted it as a Pesach, therefore it's a posel. It's a psul be gofrei. So the question is, E Rabbi Eliezer, he chafas nami mechayev. Nu, according to Rabbi Eliezer, then in the Mishnah, he should be chayev chafas. The halasle, the Rabbi Eliezer, toyev edva mitzvah potter. After all, we established before that according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's no toyev edva mitzvah. So according to him, he chayev chafas. So we're saying, in the Mishnah, we said if it's on Shabbos, he's potter from chafas. Mitnesha shochat birshus. The Braisa added that if this happens on a weekday, yisorif miyad. So the Braisa and the Mishnah have to be according to the same mandomer. If the Braisa is telling us he's Sorof Miyad, and that's according to Rabbi Eliezer, then it wouldn't fit with the Mishnah that says he's part of Machatas. Ela Tirgum of Yosef Breder of Salah Hasidah, Kamedra Papa, Hamani Yosef and Hunoihi. Rather, we can answer that the Braisa at the top of the Amud is according to Yosef and Hunoi. The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Zvachim, when you have all the Mishnayos over there that deal with the question of which korbanos are posel shaloi lishma and which ones are kosher and they just don't count for the owner. So Yosef ben Chunoy Yomer, Hanishchotim l'shem Pesach l'shem Chatas Psulim, like Rabbi Eliezer, he says any other korban that was shechted having in mind that it's a Pesach or having in mind that it's a Chatas would be posel. So in that he holds like Rabbi Eliezer, Alma Psul b'gufay. So he holds again that a shlomim that was shechted at a Pesach is a Psul b'gufay. Therefore you can burn it right away. Or Mishumahachi you start off miyad. Therefore it's burnt right away. Or Bipturi Savalak Rabbi Yeshua. But the advantage of saying it's according to Yosef and Chunoi, now we don't have to say that when it comes to the case of Toya B'Dvar Mitzvah, it's not Rabbi Eliezer, it's Yosef ben Chunoi. He's entitled to hold in Toya B'Dvar Mitzvah like Rabbi Yeshua, and therefore he would pater him from a chatos if this happened on Shabbos. We were saying that it. If he shechted it and it turned out that it was possible because it was supposed to be a shlomim because the owners withdrew from it or died or whatever. So then, the problem was that we had that according to Rabbi Eliezer it wouldn't work because according to Rabbi Eliezer either you would say it's chayiv chatas, you would say it's chayiv chatas and you burn it right away. According to Rabbi Yeshua, we'd say it's potter from chatas, but you can only burn it later on. So how do you fit? Now we have the opinion of Yosef ben Chonoi. When it comes to the shaloi l'shmoi, he holds like Rabbi Eliezer. When it comes to toya b'dvar mitzvah, he holds like Rabbi Yeshua. So that works. Yeah. So our Mishnah would go according to Rabbi Eliezer, or according to him. Our Mishnah could go according to either one. The Braisa, the Mishnah necessarily has to go according to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is the only one, our Mishnah, could go either according to Rabbi Yeshua or according to Yosef ben Chonoi. The Braisa relating to the Mishnah is definitely according to Yosef ben Chonoi. Fine, so we would say that both of them are according to him, Okay. Rav Ashi gives a different answer. Rav to Omar, could Rabbi Shmuel, Benoish Rabbi Yechon ben Breka. Another answer you could say is that Rav holds like Rabbi Shmuel, Benoish Rabbi Yechon ben Breka. The Tanya, we learn in a Braise, Rabbi Shmuel, Benoish Rabbi Yechon ben Breka, Im Yeshohutz Bayoim Leida Im Moshko Bailam Esidayim, if there was enough time in the day, it's not always a blanket thing that once you found out, then you potter. If there was enough time in the day to find out whether the owner withdrew, Oshem Mesu, or they died, Oshem Nitmu, or they became Tomei, Chayev, then he would be Chayev Chatos, like it said in the Mishnah, because he should have taken the time to find out, so you can't call him Toya B'dvar Mitzvah. And it needs ibur tzura, and it needs to be taken out, and only then do you burn it. So Rav, who's saying that you need akira, would be going. So Rav, who's saying that you need to that you don't need akira. So Rav would disagree with that Braisa on the top of the Amud. How can he disagree with the Braisa? Because you have Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Yechon ben Breka, who says that it would need ibur tzura. So my time, a lav nishum deloy boy akira, l'chura, the reason would be because it doesn't require akira. So therefore, in other words, so again, we're back to the thing, it was a psul machmas dover acher, so it automatically became a shlomim, it's a shlomim that was shechted after the tamat shomayin abayim, therefore no akira. Okay, the Gemara says, mimai, who says that's the reason? Duma mishum desavar lakatana dvei rava baravua, maybe actually the reason is, Maybe Rabbi Shmuel in turn holds like the Tana of Rabba Baravua, the Amar Afilu Pigul Nami Boy Ibutsura. Rabba Baravua holds there's no such thing as a psul where you ever burn it right away. Any psul, even a psul begufa, even pigul, you need Ibutsura. The Yalef oven minoiser, where because he learns by Exeda Shava on the word oven from noiser, where by noiser you burn it right away. Therefore, he says pigul, you burn it right away. But no, so every psul, whether it's begufo or machmas davaracha, so maybe Rabbi Shmuel holds like that. That's why Rabbi Shmuel is saying that you need ibur tzura. Nothing to do with the question of psul begufo or psul machmas davaracha, because he holds that any psul needs to be burned only after ibur tzura. No, so we didn't. So the Braisa at the top of the Amud then would we're trying to argue now. Rabbi Ashi is trying to argue. That Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yechon ben Breka would argue with the Braisa at the top of the Amud and say this particular case we don't burn it right away because not a psul begufo, it's a psul machmas davar acher. The argument is though maybe Rabbi Shmuel holds that in general any psul needs to be machmas davar acher. That any psul needs ibur tzura, that you need to leave it overnight. So that has nothing to do with the whole discussion over here involving Rav and involving the Braisa. The Eloi Temahochi. After all, if you're not going to say like that, if you're going to say that Rabbi Shmuel holds that psul guf does require that Rabbi Shmuel holds that some psulim you burn right away and some you burn only after ibur tzura, then nitmu bailam mai iklamema. What are you going to say when the owners became tomei? Ha vade boy akira. Surely that requires akira, which we learned before. The Amar of Chiyah Bagam, the Nizrukam of Pichabura, going to if the owner was tomei by Pesach Rishon, then the korban is definitely not nekar, does definitely not become a shlomim because he can still bring it for Pesach Sheni. So in that case, for sure, at least you would require akira in order for it to become a shlomim. And Rabbi Shmuel, when he lists all these cases, he mentions shenitmu. So necessarily, therefore, you have to say that it's not a question of akira or not, according to him. It's a matter of he always holds that any psul requires ibur tzura. Ella, you're right. Mechavarta Kedishani Beikara Yosef and Chonoi. So the most clear answer is we can't use Ravashi's answer. We have to use the previous answer of Rav Huna, Breder of Yeshua, that we're talking according to Yosef and Chonoi. So he would say, when it comes to Lishmoi and Shaloi Lishmoi, he holds like Rabbi Eliezer, that other Korbanas Shechted at the Pesach are possible. So in this case, it was supposed to be a Shlomim, and it became a Pesach, and therefore it's possible. Therefore, it's a Pesol Begufa. You need to burn it right away. On the other hand, if this happened on Shabbos, he holds like Rabbi Yeshua, Toya B'dvar Mitzvah Potter, and therefore he's Potter from Achatas. And that answers everything. And therefore, so now we can make this work with Rav's opinion that Rav says you don't need Akira. So yeah, you don't need Akira. It automatically becomes a Shlomim. And because it was a Shlomim that he shechted L'shem Pesach, that's why we set up the top of the Amud, you burn it right away because it is a P'sul V'gufa, according to him. Okay. Hadran Aloch Elu Dvarim. No, the word Akira means that he says this animal was going to be used as such and such a carbon. Now instead, I'm going to use it as a different carbon. This animal was going to be a Pesach. Now I'm redesignating it as a Shlomim. This animal was going to be an Osham. Now I'm redesignating it for an Oilo. That's called Akira. So that's what we're saying. We're discussing in the case of the Pesach. If the owners died or withdrew or whatever, do we need Akira? And if not, if he doesn't do Akira, then it stays a Pesach, and it's a Pesach, which is possible, or does it automatically become a Shlomim, and then if he's going to shecht it at the time of the Korban Pesach, then it's going to be possible on those grounds. That's what we were discussing in the whole sugya. If you don't shecht it, then it becomes a Shlomim. Yeah. Well, so that's the question. We're saying, do we say that generally... So according to the Chiyah Bagamda, we would say, in the case where it can be used for Pesach Sheni, then if you want to use it as a Shlomim, you need Akira, but otherwise you don't. On the other hand, we could say that you never need Akira. Automatically, once it can't be used for a Pesach, automatically it becomes a Shlomim. Yeah. Okay. No, Akira doesn't physically mean picking up anything. It just means, yeah. Okay. Shabbat shalom, everyone.